and welcome to the harvest season. My name is Al.
And my name is Rochelle.
And we are here to talk about farming games.
Woo!
I don't know whether we're going to say that every episode or not, but let's keep it going because it seems to work.
Might as well. I bet the listeners are real shocked right now. The unexpected Al opening.
Well, you know, these things happen. Yeah. Can't be letting you do everything, Rochelle.
I guess I can share and be co-host with the co in the front, I suppose.
Cool. So, first of all, I think this is the first episode we've been recording since we went live. The last episode we recorded literally the day before we went live. So it's the first time we've actually had some feedback.
Yay! Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Dearest listeners, dearest farm pals, your response has filled my heart with joy.
Yes, yes. We've got a number of reviews on iTunes now, which is great. Thank you for that. Some very positive and constructive feedback. Thank you to Morden Solace, 88 Beeson 88089, and I think that's meant to be Ollie 2334. So, and thank you, Rochelle, for making me say all the names.
You're welcome. And thank you for all the really great farm game puns. Keep it up. I want every review to have a farm game pun. We also got a couple emails, which, just so you know, every time I get an email, I literally scream with joy.
And then send me lots of screaming Slack emojis.
You bet I do. So thanks to Jay and Ben for sending in emails. I hope our responses were okay. They both suggested games we should cover, which are definitely added to the list now.
Yes, we had one of them on the list, but it's good to know that people are wanting that. And the other one we hadn't even heard of before, but it looks really interesting. So yeah, looking forward to taking a look at those at some point.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody who tweeted at us or about us on Twitter. My heart has grown like 35 sizes in the past couple weeks. So thank you guys.
Great. So, I can't think of a... Speaking of Twitter, in the worst segue ever, Rochelle, what are you playing just now?
Well, I thought I was going to play some of the new games I got that I talked about in the last episode. I did not. I just played more Stardew Valley.
You fell back into an addiction.
It's just, look, to be entirely honest, it's because when I was listening to the last episode to write our transcript out, by the way, we have transcripts of every episode on the website.
Meticulously typed out by Rochelle.
Personally, by me, with love. So when I was writing the transcript for the last episode, because we were talking about Stardew Valley, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited about Stardew Valley. So I just went back to playing Stardew Valley. I was actively playing as we were starting the recording process today.
Yeah, I interrupted her.
It was very rude.
We need to record, Rochelle. It's getting late.
It's early for me. I woke up early.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What have you been playing?
Yeah, I've not been playing many farming games this past 2 weeks. So I think last episode I talked about how I'd started Animal Crossing. Mm-hmm. I've not really done much with that.
No!
I think I've hit the point where I have the same problem with every new game I play, where they are so slow to start off with. And I know that part of the point of these games is that they're slow. But there's something about the slowness of them in the beginning that really frustrates me. And I think it is I think it's probably the biggest weakness in the genre. And I've not found any game that doesn't do it. And I think that Animal Crossing has an added issue in that because it's real time, you can't just go to bed and things will have moved on. Obviously things, you know, they grow over time and stuff, and so it's not like you can do a little bit in the day and then not do anything for the rest of the day, because you can still be doing. But I feel, because there's not like one thing I'm focusing on. Like, so for example, when I was talking about how I sped round the start of Trio of Towns again, I was really focused on a very specific thing. Like, I want to grow a bunch of crops and gain some money really quickly so I can just start, you know, getting further in the game, and I'll just grow these crops and talk to the, you know, one villager and then go back to sleep. I feel like that was really focused, whereas on Animal Crossing, because you can't just do something, then go to sleep and get up the next day, I feel really unfocused with it. And I just don't think the way that it works is really clicked with me yet. Not to say that it won't. I am going to try it again. But I just haven't got it yet.
You are suffering from the classic farming game genre illness of choice paralysis, where there's so many things to do that you don't know what to do. My suggestion, which is the same suggestion I give for like farming games and stuff, is just pick something and decide to do it.
Yeah, but this is the thing. The problem then is if I pick something and do it, I do it and then I'm done and I can't bring the next day on. I have to wait.
I mean,
do you see what I mean? So I can't like sit down for an hour and like do that one thing for an hour.
Yeah, you can. Especially at the beginning. Like, for example, a really good task for you might be, especially because February is coming up and you're at the end of winter right now in Animal Crossing. So what you might should do is collect bugs, for example. Look up a guide for all the bugs and what season they're in and start collecting all the winter bugs and things like that to donate to the museum. That can take hours very, very easily.
We'll see. I don't know. It's just, I think I just have to click with the game before I properly get into it.
Yeah.
Keep checking in on me. I'll do it eventually.
You'll get there. If you really, really decide you need a kickstart, I can arrange for maybe the Bell Fairy to come visit you and give you a little boost.
Yeah, I'd need to care about what I'd actually use the bells for anyway. That's the problem. Just, I guess, buy the house, but whatever. Anyway, other than not really playing Animal Crossing, I've done a bit of Stardew multiplayer again to make sure that I'm up to date for this episode. And other than that, I was playing Mario. So not a huge amount of farming in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Nice.
So we're going to move on to the news section. And obviously, as we all know, the farming game genre is chock full of games, so there is a lot of news.
Oh heck, so much news.
So I should note that some of this isn't like brand new news. Some of it is we have just been made aware of games that look interesting, and so we might bring some of them up just now. But some of it is like news that's come out since we last recorded.
Like the ultimate most important piece of news in this entire section?
Of course.
That farming games are legit real gamer games now, since they're in
legit esports.
An esports league.
Thank you to the 3 million people that sent us
genuine
this link.
Thank you. I just for a moment, I would like to give a quick laugh in the face to everyone in my past who ever told me that farm games aren't real gamer games. You have been proved wrong.
You can win money playing farming games.
My Schadenfreude levels are through the roof. So yeah, the game series Farming Simulator is now getting an esports league, and I have never been prouder.
And for those who aren't aware of what Farming Simulator is, it's basically meant to be a realistic farming simulator. So if you know, if you've only had experience with stuff like Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley, it's not the same. It's meant to be much more kind of realistic and kind of making an efficient realistic farm. Yeah.
Yeah. I have yet to play a farming simulator game, but right now it's at the top of my list for next game I'm going to buy. I'm very excited.
Well, we need to get in on this, you know, esports league.
Gotta get making that esports money.
Money, money.
What else do we have for news?
Yes, well, the second most important thing is obviously that there was a Stardew patch for Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that interesting. if you've been having any issues with frame rates, it fixes those issues. I believe it's only for Switch, this patch. It's not for any other platforms because it was only an issue on the Switch.
Yes.
But yeah, so if you've been having frame rate issues, go update your Stardew, get playing on your multiplayer again. Since our recording, My Time at Portia has been released out of early access, and they are killing it. They've also released a 1.1 update with a bunch of new features and bug fixes. So I think it was literally like a week between it coming out of early access and the 1.1 update coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also said that it's coming to Switch and PS4 and Xbox One in the spring. They've not given an exact date for that, but there is that.
If they're going by Animal Crossing time, spring is March, April, and May.
Well, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see when that comes. I am looking forward to this game. I'll probably wait till it's on Switch to play it, but it looks like a really, really good game. I love the graphics on it. It's your standard farming game. And it's got the standard grandfather trope.
My favorite trope.
The best. Like, how else do people get farms nowadays other than through their grandfathers?
Well, to be fair, if you don't have a grandfather, you can always go with the other beginning of a farming game trope, which is you show up with amnesia, you don't know how you got there, but you're gonna farm the farm. Thanks, Rune Factory.
I do want to cover one thing about My Time at Portia, which is less than positive. You know, people might have seen that there was a controversy recently about Team 17, which is the company that make My Time at Portia. You may know them from Worms games. They apparently did not pay voice actors that were recording for their game. I believe since that has come out, the company have now paid all of their voice actors, and they say that it was a complete mistake. It was an issue with their, it was a books issue. They something got missed, and therefore the payments didn't go out. But yeah, I think it's a bit of a shame that something like this has happened. Obviously, you know, we are very strongly believe that people who work on these things should be paid, whether you're a developer, a designer, a voice actor, you know, a musician, a composer, however, whatever it is you do for these games, you should be getting paid for your time.
People should get paid for their work.
Absolutely.
That is the official stance of the Harvest Season podcast.
Yes. We're making official stances left, right, and center.
I didn't realize when we started this that we would have such strong opinions on thoroughly random things.
Such strong opinions on basic human decency. Yeah, so I think it's a bit of a shame, but it's good that they've owned up to the issue and they have fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a huge amount left to say about that. I don't know what you think.
I think I'm excited to play this game.
I am. And, oh, the other thing that I missed to talk about is that this does have an interesting thing that I've not seen in a game like this before. Maybe you've seen more, is that you do have a workshop. I'm not sure exactly how that works, and obviously you do have crafting in other games, but the workshop aspect is quite interesting because you have villager requests to craft things for them, so that could be quite interesting. But as I say, I've not seen how it actually works in the game. But the idea of running a workshop as another income stream does sound quite interesting to me.
Indeed. I think with a lot of straight farming games, you don't see that a lot, but I know that having a workshop is common, and I think it's in every Rune Factory game. I love Rune Factory. This is not even the first time I've mentioned Rune Factory today. What is this nonsense? Yeah, you have workshops in the Rune Factory games. I think a little bit more because those games are oriented towards it's half farming, half like dungeon battling mechanics. So like you can build a workshop and different types of crafting stations and make things like potions and armor and weapons and things like that. I enjoy the idea of collecting things to make things.
Yes, as do I.
So I'm 100% down on this workshop idea.
Yeah, I think in general, I'm not trying to say it's like a unique idea. And obviously, as I said, most farming games do have some sort of crafting. But you know, as you say, there may be ones that have the kind of workshop aspect. I just personally have never played one with that income stream before. Mm-hmm. Because the games that I've played, any crafting you do is purely just for your own purposes.
Yeah, and that's how it normally is for like just straight farming games like Harvest Moon or etc. Usually you're gonna find something more akin to like you go to the person who builds the things, like Robin in Stardew Valley.
Yes.
Etc.
Exactly. So this is looking like a good game. I'm excited to try it out once it comes onto Switch. Other games, other news. So the other thing that is new information, which is Re-Legend, it has been, so I think it was a Kickstarter in 2017, and it was meant to come out last year, I think June or July last year. They, as of yet, have not come out, but they have announced that their Kickstarter release, so just for backers, will be coming in February. So that is their first release that goes out to anyone outside the company, which is exciting. This was the one that was suggested by one of our emailers, and I hadn't seen it before, but it looks really interesting as well.
This looks amazing and wonderful, and I can't wait to play it.
And of course, so the interesting thing that this one has is you can grow crops underwater.
Which looks so cool. And
in the sea.
I'm just going to put out there, the aesthetics of this game are like 100% made for me. I love it. It's so adorable.
It does look really nice. You also seem to have, there are creatures that you can tame as well in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. And yeah, the graphics look really nice in this game.
Looks really great.
I'm really looking forward to playing this one.
It feels to me like it has a very Rune Factory vibe. I do not know why Rune Factory is apparently the theme of this episode. It's not about Rune Factory. But like in Rune Factory, like there's not like cows and chickens. There's like monsters in dungeons that you can tame that will give you like milk and eggs and stuff. And so that gave me a very Rune Factory vibe of like, you gotta go tame the monsters.
Well, and do you know what the backstory trope to this one is? Have you looked into that?
No, what is it?
Well, I believe in this one, you wake up stranded on a beach with no memories.
What? I'm telling you, there is only two ways to get a farm. And it's through amnesia or dead grandpas.
Neither of them through working and building up money to buy one.
No. That's nonsense. Well, actually, I think that there is one Harvest Moon game. Is it DS Cute? It might be DS Cute. Where you get the farm because you live in the city and you read a newspaper ad for like, come farm a farm, and you're like, that sounds great. That's the only one I can think of.
Is that one any good?
Yes.
Oh.
It's the girl version of Harvest Moon DS.
Ah.
And those ones connect because back in the original DS, you could put in a DS game, but also a Game Boy Advance game.
Yes.
So if you put in both, so there's two pairs. This is going to shock you. You can put in either Harvest Moon DS and Harvest Moon Friends of Mineral Town, which is the Game Boy Advance game, or you can put in Harvest Moon DS Cute and Harvest Moon More Friends of Mineral Town. I bet you can't guess. I bet you can't guess that's the girl version of that game. You can't, by the way, you can't pair More Friends of Mineral Town with the regular DS. Like, you have to put the girl version with the girl. It's anyway. But
why,
if you
why,
connect,
why they gotta do this?
But if you put both games in your system at the same time, You get bonus stuff. Exciting.
Well, we all love bonus stuff.
Uh-huh. I do. Are you going to love Stranded Sails, Explorers of the Cursed Island?
Possibly.
This is one that I found recently that is being developed by a company called Lemon Balm. It's supposed to come out on Steam sometime between April and June, and on the Switch sometime between July and September. It's a farming adventure game where you're shipwrecked on an island.
Wow, that is a really original backstory.
Hey, give them credit. You have your memories in this one. You just get shipwrecked on an island, and I think, like, you're the child of the captain or something, and the captain can't do anything because he was injured in a shipwreck. And you have to, like, farm to survive and try and escape these islands, and it looks pretty cute. It looks interesting. It's a nice twist on the genre, I think.
Yeah.
Go check that out.
And other ones are just ones that we've recently, or one of us have recently found and look interesting. Forager is one that I had not seen before, but seems to be quite popular, certainly with people following these things. Forager was actually in the latest Nintendo Indie Highlights video, and it looks really interesting. It currently has no release date. They had a release date for November, but the Switch version wasn't ready, and they had to release all three versions at once, so it's on Steam, Switch, and PS4. So they had to push it back a little bit, and they're not going to release announce another release date until it's ready, which, as we've mentioned before, is how you should do release dates. Never say when you're going to release it until you know you can actually do it, because as we've seen time and time again, these deadlines are really hard to hit, and this is just another example of how difficult these things are to make. But this looks really interesting. One thing that I found really fascinating on this is your plants seem to be sentient, so they have faces on them. And when you're about to pick them, they put on these terrified faces.
They look so scared.
So I don't know whether this is going to make me want to play to pick them, or whether I'm just going to want to keep them around. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. And there seems to be a lot of focus on combat, and it looks to be a lot kind of faster combat than most of these games tend to be. It's a lot more kind of rushing around, but it looks really interesting. I like the graphics of this one. It's very block-based, so I think the developer kind of tries to describe it as Minecraft / The Legend of Zelda / Harvest Moon, which is an interesting combination, but could work quite nicely. I like how... So they show... I've seen some screens of building bridges between bits of land and stuff, which I like the look of.
It looks real fun. Why is it that all of the most exciting games are just combinations of games that I already love?
Yeah, it's a good question. And the last bit of news is, again, not really news. It's just something that I hadn't seen before, which is Yonder, which is a game that is already out. So many of the games we've just said, I think almost all of the games we just said, you can't play just now, except My Time at Portia, which you can play on PC. This one is actually out. It came out in 2017 and on Switch in 2018. It's also on PS4. It's a farming game. So it's called Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles. I like how it looks, but I've not looked too much into it. It looks quite nice.
Agreed. And that's the news. It was a lot of news.
So, yes, all the news that we have for just now, and of course, like last time, probably some interesting stuff will drop in about 2 hours' time. but we're going to move on to our main topic for the show, which... as we mentioned last week, in passing, we are going to cover the Stardew multiplayer.
And I hope you're ready for it, because it's a big update. Yes, I know it's already out, but we're going to talk about it.
Because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about games.
It's what we don't get paid to do.
So First of all, we should probably mention that if you haven't listened to last week's, or not last week's episode, we're not weekly. If you haven't listened to our last episode, we talk about Stardew in that one and all about the, well, most of the single player content, excluding the brand new stuff.
We didn't even cover like a tenth of the single player content.
Okay, we covered what we were talking about in that episode. So if you want to hear us talk about Stardew Valley, we mostly talked about characters. If you want to hear that, go listen to that.
Or if you want to be a renegade living on the edge, don't.
Yeah, or don't.
Just dive right into multiplayer. Yeah.
It only goes, you know, uphill from here.
Mm-hmm.
So the multiplayer is a brand new feature in the 1.3 update and is currently on PC and Switch. It is coming to other platforms later. I don't know, have they announced that it's coming to all platforms? Like, is it coming to iOS, for example? Or do we not know specifically about that?
I don't know about iOS, but I know it's supposed to come to, like, PS4 and Xbox, which I think those are the only three it's on. Other than what it's already on.
It's on Vita as well, PS Vita.
It is? People still have Vitas?
Yeah. It is a current gen console.
I wish you could see the face I was making, that's fine.
Yeah, no, it's on the PS Vita as well.
I'm acting all shocked as if like I have like emotional investment in the PlayStation line of consoles, which I do not. I've like... never owned a PlayStation console.
I gotta tell you, see, when the Vita was announced, I was so excited. I went to, and I'm not kidding, I went to a PS Vita launch party in Glasgow.
That's adorable.
It was fantastic. I mean, it was all right. It was a little bit weird, but it was good fun. And it's basically the only time I've played a PS Vita. Although I should be getting one soon because my wife's cousin has one that he doesn't use anymore. And he is going to bring it over the next time he comes. So I should be getting a PS Vita soon. Not that I'm going to play Stardew on it.
You don't want to buy Stardew again?
Again. Yes. What haven't I bought it on?
Buy it twice. And you're still paying half as much as a full price Switch game. Anyway, you were saying?
True dat.
Okay.
I don't know what I was saying. It's on Vita, I think, is what I was saying. I don't know. I don't know whether the multiplayer is coming to Vita and or iOS. But yes, it is definitely coming to Xbox One and PS4.
Mm-hmm.
But it is currently on PC and Switch. Obviously, Switch being the best console platform to play it on.
Yes, I have a clear bias. I'm not even going to pretend I don't.
Yeah, I do find it funny when we talk about games that are coming out and then we say, and of course it's coming out on Switch, and then I remember, oh wait, there are people who don't just play Switches. It's also coming to these other consoles as well. But let's be honest, do you even care?
I mean, a little, I guess. I play stuff on the PC too, so.
Yeah, no, the PC's fine. The PC...
I'm just like... I mean, I care about PC, but who needs an Xbox or a PS4?
Well, I have three games for my PS4 now.
Ooh.
Right? Three games. Until Christmas, I had one.
You have three games and a PS4 more than I do.
Well, that's true. there aren't many games that I want to play on the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get into that.
Do they have Harvest Moon in Stardew Valley? No. Well, sorry, guys.
Well, they do have Stardew Valley.
Shh.
We literally just talked about that. Shh. So, Rochelle, do you want to give an overview of how the multiplayer works? I think you've played it more than I have.
Oh, I have played a ton of multiplayer. Yeah, so I want you to imagine generic Stardew Valley gameplay. Now add to that, on your little farm, you can build up to three little cabins, and another person who you know can move into that cabin and farm with you. Which sounds simple, but it's very fun. So it's 2 to 4 players. Each player has their own little cabin / house, which you can upgrade. So you can make them bigger, you can add rooms, you can marry people. The only difference is only the host of the farm, the person living in the regular big farmhouse can have the basement that lets you get
the wine casks. Yeah, the
barrels, aging casks. That's what they are. But everybody has their own little house, and you have your own skills and your own individual relationships with villagers. But the time is the same for everybody. Time no longer pauses when you're, for example, in a menu or talking to a villager.
Which is a very confusing thing to get into your head when you first go in there.
Yeah, it's a huge adjustment to be like, oh, I have time to drop things off in the shipping bin and then get to my house before 2 a.m. No, you don't. Because time passes while you're putting stuff. Okay, it's fine. It's adjustment, but it's fine. You also share money. You have the same wallet between all of you, which is something everybody should be made aware of at the beginning.
I have a great story about that.
Oh, I do too. What's your story?
Well, so I'm playing Stardew multiplayer with people at work, and this was the first time I'd played the multiplayer, and I don't think anyone knew, because I think it was the first time we'd all played it, and so I just went and spent all our money on potatoes.
No. No.
And I only noticed after I'd like held down the button and bought all the potatoes. No. When someone else said, wait, where's all the money gone? No.
Okay.
So we got a lot of potatoes.
I mean, that's a lot of potatoes. If it makes you feel any better, it's better than this story. So when it first came out on Switch, I made a farm with some of my friends. And for a while, it was just me and one other person. And we were great at communicating, and we had a plan. And then we added a third person.
Oh, no.
And this person came in and was like, oh, this is great. I'm so excited. And went and immediately spent all 2,000 of the gold we had saved up on a bag upgrade for themselves.
Oh, no.
And we were like, who just used all our money? And he was like, what? What are you talking about? And then we had to explain that the money was shared. And he went, oh, my gosh. I just thought that because it was multiplayer, you started with more money. I didn't realize I used all your money. And the thing about bag upgrades, everybody has individual bag upgrades. So it's not like we all got the bag upgrade. Only he got the bag upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's actually one thing that I found really confusing to start with, is that all of those types of things, and like when, you know, you have all the events and stuff, like getting the fishing rod and stuff like that, that's all individual. And so, you know, your first thought when you start one of these games, especially when we started with four people, is right, let's split up. You go do that, you go do that, you go do that. And then, you know, 2 days later, I'm like, wait, why don't I have a fishing rod? Oh, wait, okay, so it's individually we have to get the fishing rod as well. So then you go talk to Willy and get the fishing rod. But that was just kind of confusing to start with. It makes sense when you actually think about it, when you spend more than 2 seconds to think, wait, my assumption makes no sense. Why would we automatically all get the fishing rod when it's only given to one of us? Because actually, you know, in real life, we'd all have different bags anyway. But you could easily pool your money. So it actually makes sense, but it's just to get your head around was confusing initially.
Yeah. I totally see that. I've never had problems because I knew what I actually was playing the beta on the PC.
All right, fancy.
So, like, I've been in it for a while. I play PC games. I don't only play the Switch.
I like to think I play PC games. Whereas most of my interaction with PC games is going, no, I don't want to update Steam.
But yeah. You do all have individual relationships with villagers. Apparently, you and your friends compete for marriage candidates. I saw that on the list and was like, who's competing? Like, when I play with other people, we go, do you have your heart set on somebody? Because, like, friends before person friends. Like, we're all going to be friends, and if you're emotionally invested in Penny, I'm happy to marry Abigail. Like, do you guys compete?
No, it's about the first one to get there, right?
Okay. Okay. Anyway, So you all have individual relationships with villagers. You all independently see like their heart events and stuff without each other. You can marry each other. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. And I feel like in most cases that would just be weird.
Oh my God. That's so cute though. Like, okay. Anyway, we don't need to go into my opinion on couples getting married in video games. I just think it's really cute.
Well, it's kind of like so I guess the only kind of thing I would think of that is similar to that is when you would play The Sims and you would make, I don't know whether anyone else did this or whether it was just, I presume many other people did this. You make your own character and you make, you know, whoever you're, you know, in a relationship with at that point, and you make them a couple in The Sims. Did that. But I guess the difference here is that you both have to actually play the game.
Yeah. It's a cute way to do an activity together as a couple. Like, oh my, this is like that Reddit thread all over again. When we were trying to figure out, when I say we, I mean me and my friends, when we were trying to figure out marrying each other, we were trying to figure out if there's any benefit. Like, for example, like yours, if you marry an NPC, when you get to 13 hearts, they'll give you a star drop and stuff like that. We were trying to figure out if there were benefits like that. And we came upon this Reddit thread that was other people trying to figure this out. And they came to the conclusion that the benefit is for the joy of being married to somebody. Like, that's the only benefit. And that's benefit enough. Like,
well, and doesn't that feel like the kind of ultimate in farming game like things? Like, you don't play these games for, you know, an end game or anything like that. You play it for the joy of doing it.
Exactly.
And that's exactly right.
Exactly. That's what it's like to marry another player. And then this one person was like, why would you even do that? That's nonsense. And other people were like, because you care about the person you're playing with? And this guy's like, but why would you do it anyway if there's no benefit? And you're just like, do you have friends, sir? I assume it's a sir. Do you? Anyway.
I was gonna call you out on that, but no, you're probably right.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I feel like this sort of person, yeah, basically just gets into a relationship to get married for tax benefits, right? And that's it.
Which, I mean, if that's what you want to do, you do you. I'm not here to judge, but also...
I am.
A lot of other people get married because they care about each other. But yeah, it is actually hard to get married. You have to buy the recipe for a wedding ring. And then I think you need a prismatic shard for the recipe. I'm going to look it up.
Ooh. Oh, I had not looked into that. That is definitely difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely a late game kind of a thing. Yeah, it's...
Well, and the problem with it being a prismatic shard, right, is then you've got to make a decision. Do I want to get married or do I want a massive sword?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that is a hard decision to make.
It is a prismatic shard and 5 iridium bars.
Ooh,
yeah, that's real expensive late game item.
Oh.
So, but yeah, you have to buy the recipe from the traveling cart. So you can marry each other. Neat.
Yes. That's cool.
So there's also a ton of new content that was added with this update. It's not just also play with your friends. They have things like you can put a hat on your horse now, which is the single most important part of this update.
Hats on horses are great.
It's so cute. Ugh, that was 100% the most important thing that I didn't know I needed until it was given to me.
Let's be honest, they could have released 1.3 update with just hats on horses.
And people would have been happy.
And still, it still would have been as popular as it has been.
Yeah. So you can put hats on horses now. There's a bunch of new items. So like the auto grabber that automatically collects items from your animals is a new item. There's things like cactus seeds. So you can grow cactuses now. Signs. You can put up signs and like any item that you can hold in your bag, you can make a picture on the sign. It's really nice and helpful for organizing and stuff. There's a garden pot, which is really neat, that lets you, it's a one square pot that lets you grow any seeds inside, which is really fun. So like you can essentially turn your house into a greenhouse.
Yeah, I was going to say that essentially works like the greenhouse, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And you have to unlock the greenhouse to get the recipe to make that.
They've thought everything through.
Yep. There's also a ton of new decoration items. A lot of them are seasonal, so like they change with the seasons. Oh my gosh, they're so good. Like so like there's plants that'll change with every season. There's items that'll like be candy canes in one season and something else the next season. It's very fun. Lots of more fun things to decorate your cute farms.
You know, that's one thing I've never actually got into properly is actually decorating.
That's my jam.
I have a chest that's just full of all the decorations I got and can't be bothered doing anything.
Oh my, Cal, you are like playing the game fine. It is your...
I was just about to say, I thought you were not going to be judging people on how they play these games. Nice save.
No, I'm just like, that's fine if that's what you want to do. I'm not here to judge. But that's actually one of my favorite parts of the game. Like, when I play with other people, we tend to, well, and we'll talk about it, we tend to designate tasks. And I'm like, I'm the farm person. I stay on the farm, I deal with the crops and animals, and I make everything pretty. So I get really excited about the seasonal decor. Where was I?
So I think that's all the new items, or well, most of the big new items.
I mean, there are a ton of new items. I'm not going to list them all for you, but I think those are the big ones.
Those are the important ones.
Yes.
I mean, all I really care about is the auto grabber. Like, another thing to automate is always good.
Yeah, I think that was a really great addition.
Now I just need something that I can put next to it that will then feed it into my mayonnaise machines. And I just want to automate all that, like efficiency.
Maybe someday.
That's what I need. Maybe. Well, there is another update coming. So
yeah.
You never know what will come in it.
He's still working on it. So there are other additions, like if you go to Robin's workshop, you can buy a community upgrade, which is building Pam's house that we talked about last episode. You can also build things like more shipping bins, so you can have more than one shipping bin on your farm, which I think was really neat.
I did not know about
this.
How did I miss that in all the stuff?
Oh my!
Wow.
That's... Okay. Anyway, that's why we do these episodes. This is why we cover details.
It's not for the listeners. It's just so I can find out what's happening.
Yeah. Actually, we're doing this just so I can tell you about farming games. There's additions like there's new monsters that were added into Skull Cavern, which are like a carbon ghost and iridium bat and iridium crab.
You know, just because that place wasn't scary enough.
Right. But the benefit of those is that they drop, like the carbon ghost almost always drops omni geodes and the iridium bat and the iridium crab. I think the iridium bat's just a fancy bat, but the iridium crab drops like crab cakes and iridium bars.
Just a fancy bat.
It's basically just a fancy bat. Let's be real.
Everyone loves a fancy bat.
Who doesn't love a fancy bat? But like, seriously though, like the iridium crab is like 50% drop rate crab cakes, 50% iridium bars. That's really good.
I mean, I know which I'd rather from that drop.
I collect food, okay? This is why I don't die in the mines. I collect food.
Oh, burn.
Anyway, so there's that. There's some general quality of life updates that I really liked. For example, they've added into the sewers a statue of uncertainty, which allows you, I think it's like 10 grand, 10,000, almost the same. For 10,000 gold, you can change your profession and a skill. So like if you decided you didn't like the crab pot professions for your fishing skill, you can change to something else.
So is that 10 grand per profession you change?
I believe so.
That can get expensive then. So you yes. still want to choose them carefully as you're going.
Yes. There's also secret notes, which are very exciting.
Secret notes?
Secret
what
notes.
What are these?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I thought these were really fun. So we have to talk about it. So during the winter, if you go, you have to walk. You can't ride your horse. But if you walk from your farm to the bus stop between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m., you'll see a cutscene with a shadow guy. Ooh. Who, you end up with a quest after you see this cutscene. And after you go through this quest, you'll gain the ability, you get an item called the magnifying glass, which allows you to find secret notes all over the world. There's 23 of them, and they give you hints to find things in the world that are secrets. So some of them are hints to finding like secret, like hidden items in the game. For example, some of my favorite items in this game are these super weird statues that you get by like putting items into boxes, and they're just hilarious and fun, and I like to decorate my farm with them. Al,
do you like decorating your farm?
Yeah, I do. Some of them are like, once you go through the secret note and figure it out, they give you kind of like skills essentially. So like there's one called Bear's Knowledge, which once you get that, the sell price of blackberries and salmon berries is multiplied by 3, which is really good. There's one called the Special Charm, which permanently increases your daily luck, which is really good. There's one called Spring Onion Mastery that increases the sell price of spring onions by 5 times. That's really good. But wow. You have to go through the effort of finding the secret note and then solving the secret note and then getting the thing.
Look, I will do secret things in games just for the sake of them being there.
Same.
Tell me there's a benefit as well and I am in.
Yep. It's really neat. I like it a lot. So they'll give you things like that. Some of them will just let you figure out like loved gifts for characters, for example. Which
oh right okay yeah because we're not meant to use the wiki for that.
You're not meant to use the wiki or the really nice physical guide that was made, which is so pretty, but you don't like art books anyway. So secret notes were added. There's also a new event. I'm gonna call it an event. Festival. It's a festival. There's a new festival that was added called the Night Market. Have you encountered the Night Market yet, Al?
I haven't actually, no.
I haven't either, because when we started recording, I was playing the day before the Night Market. My luck. Anyway, so the Night Market is 3 days at night, winter 15th through 17th. And a whole bunch of boats show up on the docks and they sell stuff or take you for a boat ride and things like that. There's a coffee merchant who will give you a free cup of coffee every 10 in-game minutes.
That is a lot of coffee.
It's a lot of coffee.
Like, that doesn't give you, if you want to get lots of coffee, like, I feel like you just stand there because it's very quick.
I'm sure that's helpful for people who want to marry Harvey. Harvey really likes coffee. That's one of the best gifts to give him. Or you can get a whole bunch of cups of coffee and sell them and make like 25 grand over 3 days.
Of course, my real question is, what's his business model? Like, does he... I feel like the situation here is he face blind? Like, does he not realize that it's the same person coming? Am I wearing a fake mustache? Like, what is happening here?
Maybe the coffee merchant, whose gender you don't know,
apologies,
Al, is just a kind and generous person.
I'm pretty sure you said he at some point, but maybe I am.
I probably did. I'm sorry. There's also a decoration boat where you can go and buy decorations like seasonal plants and etc., which is my jam.
Got to get those decorations.
I love, they look so good though. Like, have you seen them, Al?
What, the new ones?
Yeah, like the seasonal decorations.
I haven't actually seen them now.
Okay.
Sorry to disappoint you there.
It's fine. There's also the famous painter Lupini, who shows up and sells really nice new paintings, which it's a different painting each day of the festival, and it rotates. So, like, there are three paintings that are available in year one. There's three paintings that are different that are available in year two. And there's more that are different that are available in year three. And it rotates forever. So if you really want them all, you got to really commit to playing at least three whole years of this game. There is a fishing submarine, which will take you out on a deep sea fishing tour for 1,000 gold. It takes half an hour to get down into the ocean in game time. And you can catch three specific fish there. The midnight squid, the spook fish, and the blob fish, which are new with the update. And you can also catch cucumbers, sea cucumbers, and octopi. And you have a very small chance to find a pearl, which is also a new item. Then, if you don't feel like doing that, you can go to the magic shop boat, which is super fun, which sells decorative items and seeds and a unique hat and a unique fireplace.
Can I put the hat on my horse?
Yeah, you can, because you can you can put any hat on your horse. It's a cone hat. It's real cute. It's expensive. It's 10 grand.
Wait, when you say a cone hat, do you mean like a traffic cone?
No.
Okay.
It's like pink and purple. Well,
no,
and
right. No, I feel like I have to explain that then. There is a tradition in Glasgow, in Scotland, where there is a statue of, I don't know, some dude on a horse. I don't know. He's probably, someone's going to hate me for not knowing who it was, but I don't know. He was probably a murderer or something. I lose track of these things. There's a tradition of putting a traffic cone on his head. So I thought that maybe you meant like a traffic cone. And I thought maybe it was that. I don't know why I assumed that, but
that's,
there you go.
Dark AF. Nice. That's my jam. No.
You can see it when you come over.
Yes, I will do my best. But yeah, if you want the cone hat, I think it's cute. Don't buy it on the last day, because then it's 10 grand. If you buy it on the first day, it's 5 grand. But if you buy it on the second day, it's only 2.5 grand. Buy it on the second day. The unique fireplace, because with the update, you can buy different types of fireplaces and place them anywhere in your home, which is great for people who like to decorate. So you can buy an iridium fireplace for 15 grand. They also sell like statues that are like really cool and stuff for decorating your farm, if you like to decorate your farm.
I'm sure some people like to decorate their farm.
Probably no one you know. So there's also the mermaid boat, because who doesn't love mermaids? If you go into the mermaid boat, you get to see a cutscene mermaid performance that you can leave at any time, I guess, if you don't want to actually see the performance. So you see the mermaid's performance, and then after the show, there's a bunch of clamshells you can click that will play music notes. And if you play them in the right order, you get a special item. So that's fun.
That sounds very pleasing.
Mm-hmm. There's also the traveling cart, just the same traveling cart from Fridays and Sundays, who will sell a selection of her usual wares. And then there's a shrouded figure who will teleport you back to your farm for 250 gold, which is nice. It's really cool. I know that's a lot of stuff and random information I just listed, but that's like fun stuff.
That is a lot of stuff. and it all sounds really interesting. I think the balance of things in the night market is quite good, because I feel like obviously there's a lot of decorations and stuff, but there's also a lot that you could, if you're not interested in that, there's a lot of other things you can do, which is good.
Yeah, and a lot of it is like you can buy a ton of seeds and stuff. Like, there's fun things to do. There's a mystery, the mystery of the mermaid boat. I love mysteries. So yeah, that's cool. All that is a selection of the most important new things with the update.
Yes, that is a lot of stuff.
It's a big update,
and it is a huge update. So I guess we should probably chat then a bit about the multiplayer and what it's actually like to play.
Yes, which I know we've kind of I've at least kind of hinted at. Everyone can play it however makes them happy, but I've found...
No, there is a right way to play it.
Excuse me. I found that a lot of people kind of fall into this thing where everybody who's playing just kind of does a specific thing. So like when I play, there's someone who goes fishing, there's someone who goes to the mines, there's someone who stays at the farm and deals with the crops and the animals and makes everything pretty. That's me. I find that is that common for you?
Yeah, I mean, so I think what the automatic thing that we did to start with was just, let's all just do whatever we want. And we ended up with like random patches of farming and stuff. And you have to get a bit more organized after that.
That sounds about right. It's pretty... I think it has the same sort of free-for-all that regular single-player does, where everybody just has the freedom to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But I do like that it encourages a lot of communication. Like, you have to communicate to know what you're spending your money on, and like...
or get that moment when everyone realizes and you spend a lot of money on potato seeds.
Yeah. Basically, but it's really fun, like trying to figure out, like when I play, it usually ends up like we often talk about, like, okay, who needs a bag upgrade first? Which tools should we upgrade in what order? Can we share a single set of upgraded tools? Because if I'm the only one farming, I'm the only one who needs a watering can, which means we only have to upgrade one watering can. But then do we need to upgrade two pickaxes, or can we just share, like, decisions like that? And you have to like really communicate with each other, and I think that was very well designed, so that it's not just sitting in silence and doing your own thing,
yeah,
in a room with other people. It's like actually participatory with other people.
Yeah. Definitely. And that was something that you find very quickly, is you can't just sit there and do your own thing without discussing. I mean, you can, but it's not as fun, and it's not as you're certainly not going to get through the game as much as you want to.
And yeah,
you'll probably just end up finding yourself either isolated or annoyed at everyone else if you don't communicate. So yeah,
apparently some people compete for marriage candidates. That blows my mind.
Look, you may be able to play games with other people and just have it as a cooperative play. Some of us need to have the competition in there somewhere, and it's not like the competition comes from anywhere else.
Who?
When you share a pool of money, there's very little you can actually compete about.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Who are you competing over?
Yeah, so I think two of us are currently, or well, I say actually competing. The other person who was trying to win over Emily got bored of the competition. But I was all for it. You know, let's see how we go. I guess the issue with that is you end up neglecting other things if you're spending all your time competing to win the heart of a villager. Yeah, so currently I am trying to woo Emily in our multiplayer game. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Good luck.
It feels a little bit weird because in my main single player game, I'm married to Haley. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it feels a little bit weird, but
sweet, Sweet sunflower wife. I love Haley. Anyway. So while you're competing, remember the one new thing that I forgot to mention, which is there's new heart events. And one of the new heart events is there's a new event when you give a bouquet to somebody to make them your significant other. So race to the bouquet event. Everybody has different luck every day, in case you didn't want to spend 2 weeks trying to figure that out with your friends like I did. So one person can have a lucky day and one person can have an unlucky day on the same day, which I thought was interesting. It's like another factor you can put into like who does what every day. So like when I play with friends, very often we'll say, okay, who has a lucky day? Do you want to go into the mines and see if you can get some good stuff? You know what I mean? And then if somebody has an unlucky day, maybe they just hang out and water crops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think what I quite like about this is that you can either, you know, that your two main ways of kind of coordinating these things are either, as you say, like, you know, one person go here and one person go, you know, one person go to the mines, one person do the crops. And obviously you can, you know, organize that based on many different things, what people enjoy. You know, you might take luck into consideration, these sorts of things. But what is another interesting thing that I've recently thought about is you can either do that or you can all focus on the same thing and actually get through something really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work for everything, obviously. Certainly at the beginning, you can only do so much farming because you've got very limited resources. But, you know, you can either progress everything at the same time, which is obviously something you can't do in a single player really easily, or you can just get really, really good at one thing. And obviously we've talked before about games where you try and focus on something. Like we had someone on Twitter talking about how they've done a fishing
mm-hmm.
gameplay where they just be a fisher and you spend most of your time fishing. And those things are interesting in single player, but become even more interesting, I think, in multiplayer, where you could rack up, you know, a lot of stuff in one area if you all focus on that. Especially something like mining or fishing, you could sell a lot of fish.
Yes, it's super fun. There's like 1,000 ways to play the multiplayer, and it's super farming with your friends is so fun. Like, I highly suggest making friends and playing this game with them.
I like how you have to point that out first. You have to make friends first, because the assumption is you don't already have friends.
Why do you do this to me? I don't know. Maybe you don't have maybe you don't have video game friends. Like, maybe all your friends don't like video games, and in which case you need new friends, so you gotta make friends.
Yeah. Fair point.
All right. Now that I've unintentionally insulted all of our listeners, I'm sorry, listeners.
I don't know whether it was you that insulted them or me, but...
It's fine. Anyway, so I highly suggest this game.
Yes.
If there's something in the multiplayer that we did not cover that you wanted us to cover, let us know. Email us. Yes. Tweet us.
Yes, you can email us on our website, harvestseason.club, or you can find us on Twitter at THSpod.
That's THS for... The Harvest Season. And pod like podcast.
Cool. So, just before we end, we're going to have a quick chat about what we're going to do in the next episode. We want to do some episodes where we have a challenge, and we will, over the next 2 weeks, do something, which I'll come to the challenge in a minute. And then in the next episode, we'll talk about where we got to, who won the challenge, and talk about what was interesting in that challenge, what it made difficult, what it made more interesting, if there was part of the game that we appreciate more because of it, these sorts of things. I don't know what's going to come up, because obviously we've not done the challenge yet. We're just about to start it. But yeah, so our first challenge will be the next episode, and it will be a Stardew challenge. It is a mining run. So we obviously we're talking about runs that where you just play the game focusing on one specific thing, and we thought that'd be an interesting challenge to do. And the idea is to see how much money you can make just by mining.
Okay, Rochelle from the future here to summarize these rules for you so they're all neat and tidy and easy. So the goal is to make as much money as possible by the end of year one only by mining. You start with a new save, and you can plant the first 15 seeds that you get, but that's it. You can collect mushrooms or fruit from your cave, but you can't forage or fish for food. You can cut wood for chests, but you can't sell anything you get from that. You can get the minecarts either through the community center or through the Joja upgrades, but you can't make money in the process. You can process geodes and upgrade your bag and tools, but the only money you can make has to come from the mines. If it didn't come out of the mines, you can't put it in your shipping bin. So follow those rules and see how much money you can make by the end of year one, or however far you get from the beginning of your new save.
Yes, and obviously we want people to try it as well and let us know what your experiences are.
I want to hear how you guys do these challenges with us. We'll see if they're fun, and if they're not, we'll stop, and if they are, we'll keep going.
We are a new podcast trying new things, so let us know what you think about them and whether you want us to do them again.
And I guess that's our show for this 2-week period of time. I'm not gonna say it.
Say it.
No. So, thanks for listening.
Yes. We've already said where we can find the podcast. You can find me on Twitter at TheScottBot. That's Scott with one T. And you can find Rochelle at Miss Delaney. Is that, I can't remember, is that one L or two L's?
Yeah. Two L's. D-E-L-L-A-N-E-Y. Not one L. I'm not sorry that my name is not a standard spelling.
Yes, mine's the easy one to spell now. Yeah. For those who aren't aware, I spent a long time trying to find a better Twitter handle that would actually be easy to explain on a podcast. Went through a few iterations. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I hope to hear from you, and keep farming.
Have a good harvest.
That's the one. Have a good harvest. Yeah.
The Harvest Season is created by Rochelle Delaney and Al McKinley. Our art is done by Micah the Brave, and our music is done by Nick Burgess. Feel free to visit our website, theharvestseason.club, for show notes, including links to things we discussed, and transcripts for every episode. Thanks for listening.
Did you get your games?
I got one game.
Oh, is it something interesting?
Harvest Moon Animal Parade.
Which one is that?
It's a Wii game.
A Wii game?
Yes.
Just a Wii one?
Yes. It's a Wii game.
Oh, it's a fun Scottish joke.